It's a trap. The parable today, it's a trap. Take my word for it. I mean, it seems so obvious. We have this arrogant Pharisee over here praising his own virtues at the expense of others. I'm so glad, God. Thank you for making me better than these others, these murderers, these adulterers, these tax collectors. And then we have the tax collector over here, so miserable that he won't even look up to God as he sincerely begs for forgiveness. And Jesus makes it clear that it is the tax collector who will go home forgiven, justified, right with God. Aren't you glad that you're not like that tax collector who just heaps contempt on other people, who's so proud of his own piety and how much he gives to the temple? Aren't you glad you're not like that? Snap! The trap just closed on all of us. That is the trap, because that's exactly what the tax collector is doing. He is thanking God that he's not like these others. I'm sorry. That's exactly what the Pharisee is doing. He is thanking God that he is not like the tax collector and these other people who are so miserable in the way they live their lives. This is a powerful parable for our times. Never in my life have I seen our country so divided and so divisive. We have red and blue states, and they may as well be at war with each other. In past years, Democrats and Republicans had clearly different ideas about what to do and how to do it, but they at least respected each other. And it was considered a virtue to reach across the aisle and work with other people with different ideas and different approaches. Now, I'm not taking sides here. It doesn't matter which side you're on, whether you're red or blue, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. The point is that today what we see is that people on both sides of this divide and pretty much every other divide that we can manufacture are heaping contempt on the people on the other side of the divide. Okay? That's the point. And so let's take a closer look at this parable that Jesus offers us today. What can Jesus teach us in this ancient story? Well, to start with, the Pharisee isn't as obviously villainous as we would like to think. The Pharisees, they were not some horribly legalistic bunch of people trying to win God's favor by obeying the law in a particular way. That's a caricature of them. What they were was a movement within Judaism that was encouraging people to live according to the law of Moses so that they would be in right relationship with God. The Pharisees were encouraging people to observe the law of Moses, which was given to the Jews as the definition of how to be in relationship with God. And in fact, the Pharisees had a lot in common with Jesus, a lot in common with Paul. Paul started out as a Pharisee. And there are many examples in the Gospels of Pharisees and Jesus coming together and discussing the finer points of their ideas. They agreed on a lot, a lot. And of course, there were some things they really disagreed about. And there was conflict around that. So it's not a black or white situation. And then we have this tax collector. Okay? The tax collector is a hated collaborator working for the Romans to collect taxes from the very people that live around him, from his own people. He's getting rich on their suffering. Yes, in this parable, the tax collector is this miserable character, and yet he's the one who is humble and contrite, confessing his sins and begging for mercy. But mercy for a tax collector? I don't think so. Really? It's complicated. The Pharisees aren't as bad as we'd like to believe. The tax collector isn't as automatically forgivable as we would like to believe. And when we strip away all the hyperbole, what we're left with is one person who expresses contempt and another who humbly expresses contrition. We don't want to be like the Pharisee, obviously. But we also don't want to be like the tax collector, not a great character. So what we're left with is this choice, this straightforward choice between contempt and contrition. And contempt cuts us off from others. It's just obvious. Thank you, God, that I am not like those other people who vote for whatever, right? Those other people who make terrible decisions based on terrible political beliefs, who tell lies, who engage in calumny, who cheat, who spread lies and contempt. And yet, no matter how bad we believe someone else to be, as soon as we define them with contempt, we have cut ourselves off from them and from any possibility of being in relationship with them, of working with them, of knowing them. And what Jesus is telling us is that in that same moment, we are cutting ourselves off from God. This is one of those moments. This is one of those obstacles that cut us off from being in right relationship with God here in this moment. And the tax collector, despite his obvious faults, prays to God with humility, expressing contrition. Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. And God does have mercy on the tax collector. I mean, the magnitude of God's mercy, given who this man is, what he does, is astounding. The magnitude of God's mercy reminds me of the forgiveness of the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. Even the tax collector receives mercy when he humbly turns to God with contrition. We can know God here and now. We can be in loving relationship with God right now. We can have the presence of God, the comfort of God's love and support in our most difficult times, when we're facing the struggles of our lives, the losses of our lives, the grief of our life, even forsakenness, even in those most difficult of moments. We can know the presence of God. And Jesus shows us how to do that. In the parable that we heard 2 weeks ago, the parable of the 10 lepers, we saw the power of gratitude to open ourselves to God, to open ourselves to an awareness of the presence of God. And today, Jesus shows us the power of humility and contrition. When we turn to God with gratitude and humbleness, we are able to be aware of the ever-present sacred among us and within us. We can be aware of God's love and support and comfort. We can be aware of it and even offer it to others in their moments of struggle. But if we engage in being contemptuous of others and having contempt for God and for others, it cuts us off from all of that. There is a Christian path to freedom. There is a Christian path to the fullness of life that we see in Jesus. And Jesus shows us how to follow that path, how to stay on that path with gratitude and humbleness. At this point, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to turn over the sermon time for another